God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. So there's a group of people huddled around a mahogany-paneled library. There's a table in the center, and at the head of the table is the lawyer reading the last will and testament. And the question that is on everyone's mind is, who's going to get the estate? Who is going to get the money? Now, regardless of how anyone in that room feels, there are laws, and there is the will of the person leaving the money, which they're leaving everything, that is written down on a document called Last Will and Testament. In other words, this is what I want done with what belongs to me. Now, the question for any believer is, what does God want me to do? God owns me. God made me. God put me here for a reason. What should I do? That's a question that is ancient indeed, and sometimes in very practical matters. In Jeremiah chapter 42, there was a lot of turmoil among the people of God. Of course, Babylon had conquered and taken people back to the land of Israel. And there were a group of people who feared the Babylonians. There is a preface in chapter 41, the events that precipitated this. But there was a group of people, and they were thinking of going to Egypt. They were thinking of basically escaping to Egypt. Chapter 41, verse 17 gives us this indication. Their feet were already pointed towards Egypt. But for whatever reason, they felt it necessary to ask God what he wanted them to do. Did he want them to go to Egypt? And so they went to Jeremiah the prophet, and they said, look, please pray for us. Pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. Verse 3 says, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. What should we do? Where should we go? And that's a good question. The relevant question, of course, for me and you today is, what does God want me to do? Where does God want me to go? Does God have an opinion? Now, the short answer is that God's word is God's will. The answer that Jeremiah gives is precisely that. Verse 7 says, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And God reveals by his words to a man, Jeremiah, exactly what these people were to do. Again, in verse 15, now therefore hear the word of the Lord. They did not have scripture. They did not have the Bible as we have it. They would know nothing of the Holy Spirit of God. So they're asking a prophet to tell them what God would say. Now, God did. The equivalent today is not God spoke directly to Jeremiah and God's going to speak directly to me today. No, I don't know how God did it. This is interesting, actually. I don't know how God did it, but these are the actual words that God himself gave to a man, Jeremiah. We don't have that now. We have a more sure word of prophecy. In fact, the reason we know the words that God gave Jeremiah is that we still have them inscripted in the Bible, written down what God said. You know, when the rich man died and lift up his eyes in hell, he was concerned about his brothers left on earth. And he said, if someone could just go from the dead and convince my brothers, they would avoid this place. The reply from Abraham was, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And then Abraham said, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead if they will not listen to what God has written. When Jesus, after his resurrection, was on the road to Emmaus with a couple of disciples, not of the 12, but of disciples, they were discouraged, they were confused, they thought that Jesus was dead and gone. And Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the scriptures say. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures concerning himself. So the bottom line is God's word is God's will. Look, before prayer, God's word is God's will. Now, should we pray? Sure. I pray for God's guidance every week, maybe every day. But before prayer is God's word. Why? Because if I'm not willing to do what I already know God has written down for me to do, then what a waste of time it would be for God to give me something more specifically. In verse 19, God says, finally, he says this 3, 4, 5 times, go ye not into Egypt. Look, I'm telling you what to do. Do not go into Egypt. And then in verse 20, he says, for ye dissembled in your hearts. You were duplicitous. You had two answers, one thing that you were going to do and then one thing that you actually said you were going to do. You dissembled, you deceived in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us and we will do it. They had said, look, Jeremiah, just tell us what God said and we'll do it. Well, the answer from God God was, no, you're not going to do it. You are determined to go to Egypt. Now, why they even bothered to ask, I don't know, except I do know a lot of times we are asking God, God, what do you want me to do? And he's already told us. I'll give you an outlandish example. It is not God's will for me to leave my wife and join somebody else. I could say, and I don't say this, I don't believe this at all, but someone could say, well, I believe this would help me to do some great good in the world. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. No, God has already told us his will regarding marriage. So I can pray about something, but my prayers are useless if I'm asking God about something that he's already given clear direction. That is, in fact, hypocrisy. It's dissembling. It's deceit. It is rebellion. So God's word is God's will before prayer. God's word is God's will before feelings. Why would these people be so blinded to what God had said? And the answer is because of what they wanted, because of what they felt. Verse 16, then it shall come to pass that the sword, which ye feared, shall overtake you there in the land, there in Egypt, there ye shall die, Jeremiah says. Why did they want to go to Egypt? Because they feared Nebuchadnezzar if they stayed where they were. There were some things that had happened. They were afraid. God had told them specifically, look, do not fear Nebuchadnezzar. Stay where you are. Don't go to Egypt, and I'll take care of you. I'm going to take care of it. Just obey me, and I will take care of it. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, for I am with you to save you, to deliver you from his hand, God says in verse 11 of chapter 42. So before feelings, sometimes we think, well, this is what I want to do, and God wants me to be happy. So this must be God's will. No, that's subjective. That is subject to your impression of reality, your interpretation of reality. It's not objective. It's not solid. It's not authoritative. It's a desire. Other people, oddly enough, think, well, you know, I want to do this, so I know it's not God's will because God's will is painful and agonizing. And they're missing the point. You know, sometimes people say, if there's something you really don't want to do, that's exactly what God's going to make you do. Preachers, I'm a preacher. We say, you know, when I was a kid, I was bashful. I didn't want to be in front of people. And then God called me to preach. Well, that may be true. But if it is true, there was a gift that had not been recognized before in that person's heart. God had given this man the gift. And so regardless of the way he felt, God had gifted him. God had trained him. God had put him where he was for a place. So the question is not, what do I want or not want? The question is, what does God want? God's word is God's will. Before we pray, before our feelings, I would say before piety, that is trying to appear spiritual. Someone says, well, I have a peace in my heart that this is right. Now, I'm all for feelings and impressions, but a person could reject Christ and then say, well, I have a peace about it. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel. If you reject Christ, if you're without Christ, then you're without salvation because of what God has actually said. And because of the gift God has given through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Someone says, I have an impression that I should do thus and so. It may be you have an impression. I'm not even for the purpose of this text saying that God never works through impressions. I'm simply saying God's word is God's will. That's where you have to begin. I can't go with peace or feelings or impressions. I have to begin with what God has said. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit of God? Well, I hope you do because he's part of the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I do, yes. Do you think we should seek the guidance, the leading of God, the Holy Spirit? I think the answer is yes. So here's the question. How? If he's going to guide you, how is he going to do that? Now, again, we don't have time for this very important topic other than to say, well, in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, what I've said. Well, how do we know what Jesus has said? Because it's in the Bible. Verse 24, Jesus says in Luke 14, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you. I've said them, and we see them because they're written in the Bible, being yet present with you. Well, was Jesus physically, bodily present with us now? No, but he's left his words. And he says in verse 26 of Luke 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. How will he teach us? And bring all things to your remembrance. Things of what? Things that are already there. Things he said. Whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, sometimes we have instincts, impressions, and perhaps we have an instinct that saves our life. And we think, wow, that was just an instinct. Well, you don't have an instinct like a bird has an instinct, but you have thousands of micro memories and experiences that conspire to help you in an abbreviated time so you don't get hurt what you should do. If I'm out in the forest and all of a sudden something doesn't seem right, maybe I don't know that it is, everything has gone quiet, the birds are not chirping anymore. I may not know that consciously, but what I am sensing is the recollection of a thousand memories, micro memories that are giving me what we would call an instinct. instinct. Look, can God give impressions? I'm not saying he does not, but I'm saying that it will not go contrary to what he's actually said. Can God do the supernatural? Of course he can. Did God do it in the book of Jeremiah? If God does the supernatural, how do you know that he has? Because of what he has given us in his word. So do you want to know where you should go and what you should do? Begin with God's word. God's word is God's will. God will never impress you, give you peace, guide you to do something that is contrary to what he's already said and taken the trouble to give us by the book in your lap. Friend, if you're not in the word of God, then you do not have a foundation upon which to make wise and godly decisions. You do not have a foundation upon which you can follow the Lord's leading, because the Lord begins that leading by giving you his word. And God's word is God's will. Should I pray? Yes. Do I want good feelings? Sure. Should I be spiritual? Yes. But piety doesn't make up for doing what God has said and living in obedience and in faith, regardless of how I may feel at the moment.